In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So Jonah went out and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Well, good for Jonah. He just did what was asked of him. But you'll notice that something is perhaps wrong here. Something is fishy. Or more accurately, something is unfishy. When we hear of Jonah, we expect to hear, of course, about the whale. It is Jonah and the whale. Hardly anyone knows that Jonah was sent as God's prophet to Nineveh, but everyone knows that Jonah was swallowed by a whale. So what is this story of Jonah with no whale? It's a bit like Gilbert without Sullivan, somehow incomplete, or like a bagel without cream cheese, somewhat dry. Or, to use high Augustinian theological language, like human volition without God's guidance, which we might call will without grace. The whale is important, not just because it's exotic, but because it says something important about Jonah. In today's reading from the third chapter of Jonah, things look on the face of it easy. God calls Jonah. Jonah says yes. Jonah goes to Nineveh. The people of Nineveh repent and turn from their evil ways. So this, Jonah went to Nineveh according to the will of the Lord, looks as simple as they left their nets and followed him. Simple call and immediate response. But it's not like that. Look at the beginning of the passage. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. And note that we're already in chapter 3, not at the beginning of this story. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time can only make us ask, what happened the first time? And the answer, of course, brings in the whale. The first time God asked Jonah to go to the eastern city of Nineveh, he promptly got on a ship in the opposite direction to Tarshish, probably in the western Mediterranean. He did this to run away from God and from God's call. But a storm arose, and the sailors threw him overboard, and God sent a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and he remained in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights, until the fish spewed him out onto dry ground. The whale was an agent of correction, a way of putting Jonah back on the right track, because he had deliberately avoided it. The whale, then, is what reveals Jonah's reluctance and stubbornness and fear of what he's called to do. And we can all relate more to this real Jonah, because he is more like us. Jonah is the reluctant one. He gets it right, but only the second time around. So perhaps he's here in today's readings, given to us by the lectionary used by Christians all over the world, to supply a contrast to the seemingly unreluctant and very eager ones in the Gospel, Peter and Andrew and James and John, the disciples who are called by Christ in today's Gospel passage. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Immediately. And what are they leaving when they follow Jesus? With Simon Peter and Andrew, they left their nets. That means they left their means of livelihood. They left their professional and financial structures of security and followed. And more terrifyingly, with James and John, they left their nets and their father. That means they also left their family. They left their private and domestic structures of security and safety as well and followed. How can this possibly be edifying for us? How can this gospel encourage us, none of whom would simply abandon all the security we know and follow a call into the unknown? These apostles, these saints are surely too high for us, too good to be true, too good to be any kind of exemplar or role model or encouragement for us ordinary Christians, us ordinary human beings. But let's not look only at the call of the apostles, what the lectionary gives us today, but look further. Their calling is in this first chapter of Mark's Gospel, a Gospel we are reading through this liturgical year. And when we get to chapter 14 on Palm Sunday, we come to the shortest and perhaps starkest verse in all of Mark's Gospel, which concerns these same apostles. It is, "They all forsook him and fled." Chapter 1 and chapter 14 of Mark's Gospel are bookends in closing the story of these apostles. Immediately they followed him, and then they all forsook him and fled. And what did they do in between? Well, they spent a lot of time misunderstanding Jesus and getting things wrong. And by chapter 8, Jesus tells them rhetorically, though you can almost hear the exasperation in his voice, "Do you still not understand?" So what lies unspoken here in both these readings, the call of Jonah and the call of the first apostles, is response that is in part failure to respond. Jonah gets it right, but only the second time around. And the apostles answer the call immediately, but make a mess of it and flee when the going gets tough. So we can understand them, because we've all been in both these situations in the callings in our own lives. Both initial stubbornness, reluctance, and fear in following a path we know to be right, and also setting out on a path, and perhaps through the same fear, abandoning it. Whether you perceive your call to be from God or from deep within yourself, these things are not too different, because we are made in the image of God. And these calls then ask us to untether ourselves from our places of security and comfort, and that can be fearful. Monks and nuns in our Catholic tradition, both Roman and Anglican, are called to leave all their security behind: possessions, family, and self-determination. That's what poverty, chastity, and obedience are about. But most of us are not called to this kind of renunciation. The psalmist says in today's psalm, "If riches increase, do not set your heart upon them." If riches increase, we're not commanded to get rid of them, but simply not to set our heart upon them. And the result of that may be getting rid of them. The gospel backs this up. The love of money is the root of evil, not money itself, but our attachment to it. We're all called into a kind of detachment from our plans, our safeties, our comfort, and even with the fear of leaving them. St. Paul says, "But let those who buy be as those who had no possessions," that is, not attached to their possessions. "Let those who deal with this world be as though they were not dealing with it," that is, not be obsessed with the cares of the world and its busyness. And similarly, in our own inner lives, we are also to be detached. "Let those who mourn be as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing." That is, we can acknowledge that we have human emotions, both joys and sorrows, without so inwardly being fixated on them that we fail to live our lives to the full. And St. Paul's hardest saying is also here: "Let those who have wives be as if they had none." That is not a command to pretend that you are divorced, nor is it a command to celibacy, but rather a warning for all with lifelong partners that there is more to life than only that partnership. How many men or women in our society have lost their other friends or parts of their lives when they got married? Freed from over-attachment to the things of this world, be they possessions or particular relationships or our own inner states, we can then follow those paths which take us to the place where we ought to be, and to be the people that we're meant to be. for Christians, that is being in Christ and being yourself in Christ, with your own weaknesses and your own strengths. Those apostles who forsook Jesus and fled are later reclaimed by the Holy Spirit at Pentecost and given power from on high to be what they were meant to be, and all different one from another. James, the first apostle to be martyred, put to death by the sword. John, who tradition tells us lived to a great old age and pastors a Christian community in the great city of Ephesus, perhaps with the Blessed Virgin Mary. Peter, who brings the faith to the Western world through the city of Rome, and Andrew, who brings the faith to the Eastern world through the great city of Byzantium. And we then, in our smaller ways, while yet keeping our nets and our fathers, our possessions and our relationships, can live as those not trapped in those nets, nor dominated by those fathers, but free to follow our calls in the way that leads to the fullness of life, to him and with him who is the way, the truth and the life, even Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.